This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is the Thursday edition of VSiN by the Books. I'm Dave Ross right here in White House, Tennessee. He is our closer, Jensen Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. Jensen, we're almost to the weekend, my man. But before we get there, we got a big one tonight for USA and Turkey as we enter, what, day 15 of the World Cup? Day 16. Man, I can't believe how long this is already going. Big day, of course, in Major League Baseball on a Thursday getaway day. And there is still a lot of NBA talk. Lots to get to here on a Thursday morning.
Remember, it's Turkey yay, but they may not be saying yay after tonight. I don't want to get anyone offended out there. Turkey IE is gone. Turkey yay is here to stay, at least for another day.
We will find out how important and how much this game matters, if at all, to both of those respective countries here today. We got a great guest list here on this Thursday. Greg Peterson is going to join us with his Major League Best Bets of the Day. The Maestro, Mike Palm, is going to join us from Las Vegas, as he does each and every Thursday. And Chris Vasili is going to join us to break down some of those World Cup matches that we're going to see today. But there was big money being thrown around yesterday in the NBA. That's where we begin our highlights and headlines.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
Max money for Austin Reaves? Yeah, how about this? 4 years, $185 million extension. He becomes now, Austin Reaves, the sixth highest paid player at shooting guard, rather, in the NBA. So, Jensen, look, this is a guy that I think some people think he's a key cog to the machine, whatever this machine's going to look like. Others thought maybe he's a tradable piece. Well, the Lakers value Austin Reaves. Looks like he's not going anywhere for quite some time.
Remarkable, right? He is, as we said, the sixth highest paid shooting guard, trailing Desmond Bane, Paul George, Zach LaVine, Devin Booker, Anthony Edwards. Would I put him in that echelon? No. Would I pay him that money? Absolutely not. But they print money out there in the City of Angels. So we'll see if the contract indeed provides the ROI they're looking for. Anxious to see what this lineup now looks like post LeBron James era, for sure.
Yeah, and this is a long shot out west. We'll find out if this is really the unit they're going to go to battle with. We don't know what LeBron's fate's going to be, but we don't think it's going to be in L.A. We do believe that'll be elsewhere. LaMelo Ball, by the way, the Hornets engaged in trade talks, according to our buddy Shams Charania. And the Grizzlies have acquired Isaiah Stewart, the rough and tumble big man from Detroit. So some trading and moving pieces as we're seeing out there in the association. Look, it is a big one. If you had said this a couple weeks ago, my goodness, of course, the United States going to need this one against Turkey tonight to possibly just get out of the stage. Well, they've already wrapped up Group D. We know that. So cash those tickets a while ago with their second win against Australia. But Turkey doesn't want to go back home either scoreless and winless. And right now, Jensen's, that's where they are. So even though it doesn't really affect the standings, if you will, there is some pride, you would think, on the level here, at least for the team that's the underdog tonight.
Well, first, you're looking at where Team USA is probably going to rotate out upwards of four of their players that already have yellow cards. You do not want to get a second caution and then be out for that first round of the knockout round. So would fully expect that those players are rotated out. As you said, nothing to play for. Turkey, yay. Turkey, no. You're headed home after this one. One that they will look back and with all the shots that did not connect and so many opportunities for them to score, it's not going to come to pass this time around. Really, the intrigue now is going to continue to be not only on the third place finishing. Remember, we talked about the top eight. A couple of those teams yesterday in action. South Africa, actually a beneficiary of beating South Korea. So they have qualified for the knockout round. Dave, we have, I believe, eight teams. We have six group winners: Germany, USA, Brazil, Mexico, Argentina, and Switzerland. And then we have three qualifiers right now as second place finishers in South Africa, Canada, and Morocco. So more tickets will get punched today in the knockout round. Anxious to catch up with our great friend Chris Vasili, see what actionable intel he has and some angles to profit from in those group matches to finish up today.
Yeah, Brazil all over Scotland yesterday. 3-0 is something, the result I was looking for. I did not see the aliens come in and take away the Brazilians, as I believe somebody had predicted was going to happen. So the World Cup just got a little bit crazier yesterday. Everybody is fine on the Brazilian side. So that's very, very good news here. Boy, you know, you and I have talked about it. And if you've been watching Kodai Senga, I don't think this is startling news today, but he's no longer going to be in the rotation for the Metropolitans. Move to the bullpen there. Cubs do have some injuries. They sweep away the Mets yesterday, but Ben Brown, Edward Cabrera on the IL. And how about this? You play a little double dip, and then the Mets trade their lefty, David Peterson, to the Cubs. So, you know, you don't have to pay for the flight. You can just say you can get right on their team plane and get out of here and leave in New York and go back to Chicago. But, Jensen, a lot of moving parts there with the Mets and the Cubs. And right now the Mets really hitting rock bottom after that sweep yesterday.
Yeah, let's start with the Cubs side, desperate for rotation reinforcements. They are going to get Matthew Boyd here before the weekend, but you look at their rotation, and it is an entire rotation, and then some on the IL. You mentioned Cabrera with the hamstring injury. Of course, early in the year was Cade Horton with Tommy John. Jameson Taillon has had a hamstring issue since the beginning of June. They're trying to get Justin Steele back. Remember, he's also trying to rehab from the UCL repair, and then Ben Brown with that strained neck in the middle of June. It has been a walking wounded, so you just kind of need a healthy body, but they're basically down to three starters with Shota Imanaga, Colin Ray, Javier Assad. So a nice little shrewd move right there. Also, three of the worst beats, I think, that I've had all year yesterday. Oh, man. The Nationals were down to their final strike to close out a victory 2 days ago. The Phillies end up coming back and blow them out. Yesterday, same refrain. Kyle Schwarber pinch hits, draws a walk. Next hitter, boom, go ahead, two-run homer. We lose Nats money line. We lose the over 9.5 by a hook, 5-4. We lose the over 7.5 in Dodgers and Twins when there were seven runs through four innings.
Yeah.
And then we lose the 7.5 for Atlanta and San Diego. They scored seven. We had the over 7.5. We are done with the hook. I have made an executive decision. Lewis Ross administration no longer accepts those half point totals. Those will be removed, excommunicated, what have you. What a tough way to lose a couple of the great handicaps we had yesterday.
Well, those Nats beats that you mentioned, down to the last strike 2 days in a row, and to lose both those games in the manner in which they did. And by the way, we keep talking about the Nats and the wild card. You start losing games like that over and over. Oh. I know the Royals bullpen is bad. That Nationals bullpen, that is insufferable right now. Brenton Strange, stranger things, I guess. You get a 3-year contract extension up to $48 million. Very talented tight end there for the Jaguars. But big money being paid out down there in Duval. So, again, we're going to talk about our daily gridiron. That's going to continue this year, of course, as we get ready for the Hall of Fame game here in short order, because we're going to start that countdown today here officially on the clock. And we'll get to the New England Patriots and Seattle Seahawks, of course, to the winners go the spoils here as we start that a little bit later on. But what'd you make of this news? I know it's not a player that a lot of us talk about here, but it is somebody that we brought up on the show a lot last year. And again, if you're the Jags and you feel like you're trying to rebuild that offense from a year ago and Liam Cohen, I think they've identified him as a key cog in that machine.
Going to be interesting to see for an offense that had excellent results last year, going to be even higher expectations this year. A great friend of the network, Warren Sharp, I'm sure rejoicing today. One of the guys that he loves to target weekly in the NFL for some of his prop plays. So Brenton Strange, a lock and load parlay there in Jacksonville now for the next couple of years.
We saw that we're excited, obviously, for the Travelers to get underway today. I know we just said the U.S. Open. Some people might have golf fatigue. Not here. Not on VSiN by the Books. I've got some new plays that we'll get to a little bit later on. Yes, we do not have the no-fly zone this week, so the big suite is available on my card. I'll tell you how I might have used him, Jensen, in this week, because I do have FOMO that the 1 week you don't play him some way, shape, or form, he might get something done. So we'll get to that a little bit later on. Have you added anything to the card as well for the Travelers before it tees up here in just a little bit?
No, we're gonna stick with what we have. I know we'll touch on that upcoming here next segment, but a unique handicap, right? As you said, a lot of guys coming off the arduous mental nature of playing in the United States Open, maybe a breath of fresh air. However, you go up to the Hartford area there, and it is Keegan Bradley's backyard. So I'm keeping my fingers crossed. The defending champ starts hot. A little first round leader play on him. We'll touch on the specifics of those and some placement markets. Very excited about our Bet the Builds this week. They have been cash cows for us most of the season, so let's hope it continues here this weekend. Final elevated event. Print the shirts, Dave. You remember where you were when the Travelers was it. Swan song here. That's for it. Elevated events on the PGA Tour.
I have some Live Golf shirts. They might be going by the wayside as well, along with these elevated events. We'll get to all that. And we're going to hear from world number one here in just a little bit, Scottie Scheffler, later on in the program, about this new schedule and kind of balancing real life with the golf life and those sort of things. As to, look, he's the betting favorite again this week at plus 450. You can understand that. But a little insight from world number one will be coming in just a little bit. There was a pretty big trade that we saw yesterday in the nation's capital on the ice. Alec Tuck is going to be leaving the Sabres via a sign and trade. Then he gets an 8-year deal valued at $10.5 million per year for the Capitals. So a little bit surprised to see where the Sabres were last year. And then you kind of make this move there in DC. And I know Alex Ovechkin can't play forever. That's going to be interesting pairing there. And I don't know if you saw the Therrien Arnold story with the Detroit Lions, the corner there. It is bizarre. It is scary. And he's been arrested in connection with an armed robbery and kidnapping case that was happening down in Tampa, Florida, allegedly. Again, from the football side and from what we do from the betting side, this is a key part of that Lions defense, Jensen. I don't think this young man's going to be playing football for quite some time, if ever, again.
This is pretty bad. Just some of the details that have come out. You're right. Not anytime soon. Suiting up and putting the pads on for Detroit. That's for sure.
So just know that in your handicaps, too. When you look in, some players won't be there for very different reasons. We'll get back. We will hear from world number one Scottie Scheffler next right here on VSiN by the Books. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
We continue VSiN by the Books on this Thursday morning. Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis here with you and going over some of the top stories of the day. And I guess a surprise to some, I'm with you, Jensen, when you look at the money that Austin Reeves got last night in L.A. And again, this is on the heels now as we got through the first round of the NBA draft two nights ago. And, of course, got the last – it concluded with the last pick of the second round here. So we're starting to get these teams more in shape for what they're going to look like. Yes, there's still going to be moves that are made, right? We're still looking at Tyler Hero, say Milwaukee's going to be there. We're going to look at Jaylen Brown in Boston. So there are other big shoes to drop. Certainly LeBron James. What do you think of him as a player at this stage? More than likely, he's going to be in a new roster at some point. LaMelo Ball, we talked about that. Shams Charania reporting that several teams are engaged with the Hornets there for the potential point guard of another team coming up soon. So there are other moves still to be made. But based now on what we've seen here, Jensen, is there anything that's changed for you? Obviously, the big money mover is Miami getting Giannis Antetokounmpo. But out west, like with what the Lakers are doing, and again, I mentioned it for Luka yesterday in the program, that if you're looking for a longer shot MVP – with this new roster and what it's going to look like, it's going to be Luka's team. How are we viewing the Lakers now and what they're trying to do and what we believe will be the post-LeBron James era?
Yeah, I don't think there's really anything to gather just yet. And I think all that predicated off of, we still have the business of the offseason to conduct. We had wanting the huge trade chips already done here with Giannis. And again, there's already some season-long props and some Giannis specials up at DraftKings. Dave, one you might be interested in, Giannis Antetokounmpo to have 20 or more rebounds in any game in this upcoming season is minus $1.05. To have 50 points in any regular season game is plus $1.05. If you think he gets into some rare air, these are always funny, the long shots. Giannis to have 30 or more rebounds in any game, 50-1. To have 20 assists in any game, 18-1. As it pertains to the larger scope and looking at the NBA title, no shock here that we have the Spurs and the Thunder as the short shots there. Celtics still at plus 650. I know we alluded more so to, okay, this is predicated off of, well, if Jaylen Brown stays, still one of the best dynamic duos in Tatum and Brown in Boston. They obviously have to address their front court issues. And I would assume that Brad Stevens and company will do that for what it's worth. All those things are aligned. I was just checking some prediction markets earlier this morning, Dave, and pretty much everyone in line with having Oklahoma City as far as one of the most bet on prediction markets. It is a slight odd shift over here with some of the regulated sports books on DraftKings. For sure, the Spurs just a little bit more of a shorter shot than Oklahoma City. But yeah, to me, it's still kind of a hurry up and wait, if you will, on, I think the Celtics situation is 1A, sure. And then the Bucks situation, probably 1B with, does Tyler Hero stay? Does he go? That will create a domino effect elsewhere for sure.
And again, the Lakers, by the way, with that news of Austin Reeves, they are 30-1 out there to win the title next year. I'm not running to the window right now to bet the Lakers at that price point. If you're looking for Rookie of the Year, Cameron Boozer is going to be, I think, a popular choice, and for good reason, because I think a lot of our people, certainly in the network, Jensen, believe that he's going to get the opportunity, right? And you got to make sure when you're looking at some of these younger point guards that I was alluding to yesterday, say with the Barry situation in Milwaukee, are they going to be able to get the run that you're going to need to win the Roy? I think Nick Whalen on Prop Points always does a great job here in the network, likes the opportunity for the guy that went second overall in the draft.
Look, man, Boozer landing in Memphis, it's a pretty barren roster. I think this officially clears the way for them to part ways with Ja Morant, even if they just have to sell him for pennies on the dollar. Like, you have a future face of the franchise to sell to your fan base. I'm really excited about what they could build around him. Memphis traditionally has been able to find value later in the first round. They've hit on some second round picks. They have a pretty reasonable young core in place. Let me be very clear. They're not going to be a good team next year, but they have some foundational pieces. If Zach Edey can stay healthy, Cedric Coward, I thought, looked really good as a rookie last year. But Cameron Boozer, Jeff, is the only one of the top five picks last night who I think is going to step in as the number one or even number two option on his new team. You know, you look at DeBonsa, he's got to contend with Trae Young and Anthony Davis. Darren Peterson goes to what is, I can't believe I'm saying this, kind of a sneaky loaded Utah Jazz team. If you're looking at an early Rookie of the Year play, I think getting Cam Boozer at plus money right now, plus 240 at DraftKings, makes a lot of sense.
He was the third overall pick, obviously Peterson going two there to Utah, as Nick alluded to. So Memphis not going to be very good. And I like the rationale, right? Because we talked this a lot about this in the NFL too, for usage. So if you're going to be on a quote unquote bad team, I don't know how good the Wizards are going to be. That's the one thing about DeBonsa at plus 450. I'll be interested to see how he plays, as he mentioned, with another big there in Anthony Davis. That could be interesting because it actually looks like they've got some talent around DeBonsa there. But what do you make of the Boozer pick, as Nick likes there, as the shorter shot with the third overall pick?
I won't bet it at that return, but I just happen to put together, you and I will talk some travelers here in a moment. I love my cross-sport parlays, Dave. A little, yeah. Tommy Fleetwood, Xander Schauffele, top 20 finish, parlayed with Cameron Boozer to win NBA Rookie of the Year. Gets me to plus 750 instead of plus 240. So not interested in the current number for Cam Boozer. If I can find a way to drive those odds up over 5-1 at the very least, now you can entice me to get to the window and perhaps have some action there.
Let's talk some more travelers here, my man, because I did load up the card a little bit last night, as my want to do here, Jensen, in our last Elevate event of the year. And of course, they're going to go over there and play the Renaissance Club in a couple of weeks there in Scotland for the Scottish Open, and then get ready for the last major of the year at the Open Championship that's going to be held in England this year. Now, I did play some first-round leader bets. This will not be a surprise. You've been watching the show this week for sure. And I do have Russell Henley and J.J. Spaun as longer shot outright. So I'm looking for those guys to get off on the good foot today. And that's where I put in the big Swede at 25-1. If you've noticed, and I know you have, he gets off to pretty good starts. He's the anti-Scottie Scheffler, if you will. And he's been in the running for some of these first-round leaders. The problem for Ludwig has come later on. So I'm trying to keep him out of my outright market tickets here. And I do not have the big Swede yet in an outright market. Again, subject to change after what we see in the first round today. But I do think the big Swede should show up in earnest today. So I've got him coupled with JJ and Russell for those first-round leader bets. And again, Russell Henley, J.J. Spaun, as I gave it yesterday. Small price points, I think, to pay there. You get plus money on J.J. for a top 20 and Russell at minus $1.20. And then maybe my favorite play that I have on my card that I added is low euro. Now, you can find these markets. There's low Asian. There's low rest of the world out there, which is going to be Canada, everybody not named United States or European golfers out there. And I played Oberg at plus 450 for low euro. Remember, there is no Rory McIlroy here this weekend at the Travelers. And I look at the rest of the European field. I know that means you got to contend with Tommy Fleetwood and the like. It doesn't feel like the strongest of the European field here. Again, I wonder how motivated some of these guys. Fleetwood will be because he plays very well here. That's the one guy I'm a little bit concerned with. But the other guys, Jensen, I think they've got one eye already getting across the big pond here, getting ready for the Scottish Open and then the double dip at the British. So I don't think I have to contend with too many guys. Oberg at plus 450 might be my favorite play here for low European. Jensen, I wanted you to hear this soundbite that I found yesterday on Scotty. And just to get your thoughts as an athlete and somebody back when in your playing days, when you're juggling real life versus, you know, what your schedule is and your day in, day out is. And we always look at Scotty as a short shot on the board. He's going to be because he's the best player in the world. And then you realize, oh, he's a human being too. Let's hear from world number one on, if you will, the trials and tribulations of the week in, week out PGA Tour.
I think when you look at this sport, it's unique in a sense of like the amount of time we spend in front of people throughout a week. Like, for me to play 4 days of tournament golf, like from the moment I step out onto the driving range, if we're playing at a 4-hour pace, that's over 5 hours, 5.5 hours if you include this part of my day, where we're in front of people, and doing that 4 days in a row in a mental sport, I think can take a toll on you. I think that's why you see a guy like Tiger can only play so many events, because I think mentally the challenge of just being in front of people for that long and being on and what it takes in order to compete week in, week out takes a lot out of you mentally. So for me, playing more than 3 weeks in a row is extraordinarily difficult. You know, I can't handle much more than that.
It's interesting because, man, when he shows up, right? He's always, even though he's not winning, he's top 20, he's top 10, he's top 5. So that mental grind, I think, can be real. Jensen, is that underestimated by fans and bettors maybe for athletes and sometimes the wear and tear on the mental side?
I mean, obviously, you know how much time you commit, and it's a lot of the time that it's not on camera. It is those skill sets and those sessions on the range. It is if you're a Wyndham Clark and you have mental coach, time to be able to, right, to work through some certain things. I'll give out my best bets upcoming a little bit later. But I'm with you on some of the bigger names that might already have a foot out the door, but there are others that want to kind of keep momentum. So there'll be some motivation here for sure.
Love it. Can't wait to get that full card, people. And again, that Traveler's getting ready to get underway in earnest. We're going to have Greg Peterson join the program next. Jensen, boy, baseball. Well, I had to look away after watching the Mets lose that double dip today. What about today? Can the boys bounce back there in Queens? We'll discuss next with Greg Peterson on VSiN by the Books.
VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
And Jensen Lewis here with you. Going to have the maestro, Mike Palm, join us in the next hour. See how the liabilities are coming along in the World Cup and beyond as we get closer and closer to the NFL season. I wonder if people are starting to bet that already at Circa and beyond as well. But he is the host of the Coast to Coast Hoops podcast and also the baseball betting show right here on VSiN. Give him a follow on X at GUnit_81. The one and only Greg Peterson joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line. Good morning to you, Greg. It is not a good morning for Metropolitan backers to watch that double dip and getting blown out in two by the Cubbies. Can we dare back the Mets today? Because it feels like, I don't want to say they're waving a white flag here, but it's been a disaster so far this week in this series against the Cubs.
Speaking of disastrous weeks, those of us Milwaukee Bucks fans losing Giannis Antetokounmpo know exactly what you're talking about, Dave Ross. But that said, I do think that things might be a little bit better here for the New York Mets. That was a no good, very bad, terrible series. But now you've got Matthew Boyd making his first start since May 3rd. And I have one of the most freakish injuries you're ever going to hear of. I think that he got injured trying to sit down to play with his children. And yeah, that's one of those baseball injuries where you just sit there and chuckle. Like, I forget who it was that got injured trying to put on pants. That's still one of the most hilarious injuries I've ever heard of, because it's like, oh, that's something I would do. But that said, I do think that this is a good spot here for Freddie Peralta, mainly because for Peralta, he's pitched a little bit better than that 44-45 ERA would indicate. The fielding independent is a half point lower. Now, he still has a career low for strikeouts per nine innings, but for him, career low for strikeouts per nine innings, he's right around about 8.5, which is still a relatively solid amount. In his home games, he's only giving up one home run per nine innings. And for the Cubs, they just have been allergic to being able to drive in men this season, aside from yesterday. They put up a grand total of 21 runs, but that said, you've got Alex Bregman, Ian Happ. They are number one and number two in the big leagues in terms of men left on base this season. For the Mets, it does feel like the offense is getting a little bit better with A.J. Ewan, giving Juan Soto and company a little bit of help. So right now we're seeing the Mets right around about minus 112, minus 115 on the money line. I just don't think that Matthew Boyd gives you a lot of length, because with having played 18 innings yesterday, these bullpens are a little bit tired, and I trust in Freddie Peralta a little bit more here. So like the Mets on the money line with that total of 8.5, I also like the under.
Free advice to Freddie Peralta and the New York Mets today. Do not pitch to Dansby Swanson with runners in scoring position. 15 RBIs in three games. That is free advice here on VSiN by the Books. Mariners and Pirates, though, an interesting series. Both teams with just absolute power pitching left, right, and center. But we get the old 12:35 getaway day special, and more free air conditioning potentially on the horizon here. Greg, Bryce Miller for the M's. Bubba Chandler has had a great year for the Pirates. Do we see some run suppression here at PNC Park later this afternoon?
I do think so, because the biggest thing with Bubba Chandler right now has been the walks this year. He's given up over 5 walks per 9 innings, but the swing and miss stuff is there. He's not going to get overly hard, between 1 to 1.01 home runs per 9 innings. And Bryce Miller has been great this season. They typically have been piggybacking him with Luis Castillo, but now for the Seattle Mariners, they're going to be piggybacking every one of their starters. Their next one, by the way, is going to be with Logan Gilbert on Saturday. Talk to my good friend who does pre- and post-game hosting for the Seattle Mariners, Curtis Rogers, that gave us a lowdown on the baseball betting show. So a big thanks to him, because I'm sure there's a lot of people are confused about the piggybacking system for the Seattle Mariners. Probably even Seattle Mariners fans at this point. But I do think that that's a very intriguing situation, because with the Mariners, they've been really good with their bullpen as well. They've been a top 8 team in terms of bullpen ERA. Even with dealing with a few injuries, one thing that the piggybacking system has allowed them to do is these fresh bullpen pieces that they have, they get a day off with regards to the piggybacking system as well. So that'll help them out. For the Pirates, they've actually been a team that's been in the top 3 in terms of run creation at home, right around about 5.3, 5.4 runs per game. But I think that Miller is going to be able to hold down the fort here. It's been a Mariners team that has struggled a little bit at the plate. Cal Raleigh has not been himself thus far this season. Team just hasn't had a ton of power. So total of 8.5, think that that's a little bit high. Like the under, and with the Pirates, you're seeing that above a plus 125. Plus 125 or greater was my buy point on that money line.
Greg, sometimes they say if you can't beat them, join them. Boy, the last couple of days, if you had overs in the Nationals or the Nationals flat out here on the money line, I mean, how those things don't get home. They stay under both games the last 2 days, and the Nationals down to their last strike, or down to the Phillies' last strike, they can't get that final strike, lose both those games. Could we look to an under? Because all of a sudden that seems to be the trend right now for the last 2 days here in DC.
You're talking to a man who's most definitely had the money line of the Washington Nationals on Tuesday. Yesterday, I had the over in the game. So, yeah, I am feeling you right there. And I'm going to be in on the under because, I mean, what we have been seeing thus far this season are Christopher Sanchez. The guy has been absolutely incredible. 0.6 home runs, less than two walks allowed per nine innings, about a 180 ERA, less than a 225 fielding independent. There's just no baiting this guy right now. I wish I could put it any other way. He had one rough start against the Milwaukee Brewers about two or so weeks ago. That's like the lone start that he's given up two plus runs in his last nine. I recognize that the Nationals entered in the series numero uno in terms of run creation. James Wood, CJ Abrams, and all those guys have been good. One thing that you want to know with the Nationals as well, a lot of their damage has come against left-handed pitching, not so much righties. So that's something that is a little bit of a takeaway there. And for the Phillies, they're also dealing with a little bit of a Kyle Schwarber injury. He's been out on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Phillies, even without him, they've been able to do a solid job in terms of putting up runs. But when you're missing a guy that's averaging 29 home runs right now this season, dealing with some back issues, I do think that that's going to be affecting the Phillies a little bit. And Keiko Volley, he's pitched better than what the ERA would indicate, giving up less than 0.7 home runs per nine innings, just under 10 strikeouts per nine. I think they get a lower scoring game here. So 8.5, I do like the under. I do like the Phillies here, but minus 172. Look for alternate ways to play that, whether that be via an under or a run line.
All right, series finale for the Bay Area here between the Athletics and the Giants, 3:45 p.m. Eastern time. That's Jeffrey Springs, Landon Rube. Sneaky underplay here for you, Greg, or do we get a little offensive explosion on getaway day?
I think Jeffrey Springs finally gets some spring in his step once again. I am in on the under because for Springs, it's been a rough go of it for him recently. Four plus runs allowed in each out of his last four games, but even when you go back to last season, Jeffrey Springs was a much better pitcher away from home than in Sacramento. And in this case, if he starts in lovely Las Vegas, and if you want one ballpark that plays much worse to pitchers than Sacramento, well, lovely Las Vegas, that did not treat any of those pitchers very well. So that inflates the ERA a little bit. For Springs, he's been giving up an ERA that is a full point lower when he's been away from home rather than at home. And Landon Roop, you want to talk about guys that have been unlucky, 4.15 ERA, three fielding independent. He's getting in that neighborhood about 10 strikeouts per nine innings. He's not really giving up a lot of power. Now, the Athletics have plenty of guys that have done a great job in terms of generating offense. Nick Kurtz and Tyler Soderstrom, low-key. You wanted to take a look at one of the hottest players in baseball over the last month that nobody's talking about. He has been that, but for the Giants, feels like they're getting the wind in their sails in their bullpen as well. And while the offense has been much better this month for the Giants, averaging more around about 4.6 runs per game here in the month of June, overall for the season closer to 4.1, much of that came away from home. They were the byproduct, their inflated numbers here in June, of having that 19-run game out there at Coors Field. So I do think they get a little bit of a lower scoring game like that ain't after the under, and I did side with the Giants on the money line as well.
D-backs in the loo, taking on the Cardinals. Interesting series so far this week. What do we make of these two teams here, and what do you like today for two teams that do have visions of postseason grandeur?
Well, I'm very glad that Zach Gallen is living up to his name because he is filling up his ERA right now. 6.15 ERA. You want to talk about a guy who's had a precipitous fall off ever since that World Series run. I still think that because he pitched so many innings that season, he has never been the same ever since and got completely destroyed in his last start against the Twins. And he's a worse pitcher away from home rather than at home. Now, for the St. Louis Cardinals bunch, yeah, it hasn't necessarily been the world's, shall we say, greatest season for strikeouts for Michael McGreevy, but he keeps the ball in the yard. He only gets like 5.7, 5.8 strikeouts per nine innings, but doesn't hurt himself, 2.2 walks per nine innings. It's a Diamondbacks team that has been a little bit hot and cold with regards to their lineup as well, not generating as many home runs as they have in the past. And for the St. Louis Cardinals, actually are averaging closer to four runs per game at home compared to five away from home. But that said, if you can still find an 8.5, because I personally took an 8.5 to the over, wouldn't quite be able to get there with a 9. I'm looking there, but this is just a big giant fade of Zach Gallen. He has not been good recently. He's priced as if he's much better than what he is. A lot of people are reflecting on what he was able to do in that World Series season, and it's just out there right now. Give me the Cardinals on the money line.
All right, that's going to wrap it up, I believe, on that card that you have today. The full slate will be there at VSiN.com, and check out the baseball betting show. Greg, you going for a run yet, or is it getting too hot out there in Vegas at this time?
Oh, it is not too hot out there. I get my run in right around about noon when it's at its hottest, and it was less than 100 degrees yesterday, so I will take it.
It's never too hot for you to get out there. 100 degrees, go in the hottest time of the day. The one and only Greg Peterson. Give him a follow on X at GUnit_81. All right, when we come back here, our countdown to Canton begins. Going to break down the reigning defending Seattle Seahawks. Next, right here, VSiN by the Books.
VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
It is VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis, the all-new NFL betting guide, is out right now here at VSiN. So if you're going to bet those futures markets, we know you are. Win totals, divisional races, MVP, Roy, or the Super Bowl itself. Our guide is going to help you get ready before the training camps even begin to set those markets. So you're going to find breakdowns of all 32 teams, projected win totals, best bets from all of our experts, feature analysis, power ratings, and so much more. Get it today for our football special. It's just $175, and that will cover you for everything we do through the Super Bowl next February. So that includes daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. Head over to VSiN.com/subscribe right now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. And Jensen, what we're going to do every day now leading up to the Hall of Fame game, and I know people are like, are people really interested in the Hall of Fame game? It's football. And we know that we can't wait to watch at least a little bit just to kind of wet our whistle for the regular season here coming up in September. So every day we will break down one team to lead up to that game in Canton. And of course, I think we'd be remiss if we did not start off each and every day here with the reigning defendings. And that's where we begin today's edition of the Daily Gridiron.
This is the Daily Gridiron.
If you're watching on FanDuel Sports Network, on YouTube TV, you're going to see some great graphics that our people have put together to get you that countdown to the Hall of Fame game starting today with the best. And I don't think we saw Seattle as being the best this time last year, but they ended up being just that. Look, it was nip-tuck with the Rams in the championship game, so very close there. Not close in the Super Bowl. And clearly, they look like the best team in the best conference a year ago. And now, Jensen, that win total is going to be very high, as you can expect, at 10.5 to make the postseason. You got to lay 225. To repeat as West champions, and we'll get into that, is $2. And to repeat as NFC title holders, 550. And the Super Bowl there at 10-1. And I think the key, Jensen, is can they win the West again? Because I think we saw last year going the wild card route for whoever else might have to do it out of this division is very hard to do.
Yeah, they certainly can win the West again. They won't be my selection. But let's look at offseason to date, okay? Free agency, some pieces departing. Of course, the Super Bowl MVP, Kenneth Walker III, now a member of the Kansas City Chiefs. Reek Woolen on his way up. Boye Mafe, by the way, who went to the Bengals. Kobe Bryant, the safety to the Bears. But they did retain one of their, all of a sudden, surprise big weapons in Rashid Shaheed to go along with Jackson Smith and Jigba. Again, a 3-year, $51 million deal. Critical weapon, not only offensively, but man, how big he was on special teams as well. Josh Jobe, cornerback, re-signing a 3-year, $24 million deal. Big after you lose Reek Woolen there to at least have some stability or at least retain some of that in the back end. I would look at the draft. And again, I know a lot of people are looking towards awards markets and saying, boy, does Jadarian Price have some value, upwards of 7-8, maybe even 9-1, depending on where you're shopping around in those futures markets for offensive rookie of the year. They take him with the final selection in the first round, round number two, a great safety, Bud Clark out of TCU, very versatile, can replace Kobe Bryant there right away in that secondary. I did like Julian Neal, speaking of secondary, their third round selection out of Arkansas, very physical, big long corner there, can basically be the Reek Woolen at a much cheaper price, obviously. So I think they did what they had to do. Of course, we know the departure of Clint Kubiak now, who is the head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders. They do hire Brian Fleury over from the division rival 49ers as their new OC. Let me tee it up for you on a couple of fronts. First and foremost, grade the offseason to date for them. Is this satisfactory for you for a defending Super Bowl champ? Are they still light in some areas? If we had to play a regular season game today against the New England Patriots, is this exactly the team that you would be okay with, at least from day one, entering this 2026 season?
Absolutely. And again, I've said right here on this show and on this network, like John Schneider, the way he runs things, is he's got a very strict plan that he adheres to. And we talked about it right here in the program after they won the Super Bowl and they go to the parade. And it was very awkward with he and Kenneth Walker. And I was like, they're not going to pay him, right? They're just not going to do this. They're not going to overpay for certain players at certain positions. And you mentioned Jadarian Price coming in here from Notre Dame. I look at him going with Zach Charbonnet this year and I go, I think they're going to be just fine. And I know they go, they lost the Super Bowl MVP. Yes, you did. But that's not the way that they run their offense. They weren't going to pay him remember at that point, the option was they could have tagged him and made him one of the highest five paid players at that position. And I said, I don't think they're going to do that because they never tag guys. So clearly Schneider was willing to make that move, go back in the draft like he did with Walker and Charbonnet and replace him, if you will, with Price. Now we'll find out if he can do it. And Charbonnet's coming off injury. So those are concerns early when it's a rookie and a guy coming off a devastating leg injury, as we saw in the postseason last year. And yet they were still able to win the Super Bowl. Here's the one caveat that I will throw out there. There has been no team that has repeated as Super Bowl champions in the modern era now in over two decades. Last team to do it was Tom Brady and the Patriots back in 2004, 2005. And here we are in 2026. So for whatever reason, there does seem to be a real disconnect that next year to go back. And we've seen teams try to go for it two in a row. The Chiefs famously couldn't get that done. So there have been teams that have been in position to go back to back, but they haven't done it now in over 20 years. So, the Chiefs did, but they couldn't three-peat, right? So again, we're trying to go for two in a row here. The Chiefs have done it, but it really, historically, it's really hard to do this. Are they the Chiefs? Are they Andy Reid? And are they Patrick Mahomes to be able to do that in that fashion? I don't think so, Jensen. So when I look at this team, I think they're really good. I don't think they're going anywhere. I think they're going to be right there. We've seen what the Rams have done in the offseason. They are the Super Bowl favorites for a reason, and really short order at plus 550. And you have to get down to 11-1 for the Seahawks. That's almost a $6 difference in the betting market. I think that's fair. I would not pick Seattle this year. You know, I was all over this team last year. I still really like this football team. I think it's a wild card team, and I don't think this team will be good enough to go on the road as great as McDaniel is, by the way. McDonald is as a head coach on the road, and the proof's in the pudding there. McDonald's been fantastic on the road. I don't think they're good enough to win multiple games on the road in the NFC this year. They would not be my pick to get back to the Super Bowl this year.
Yeah. Again, when you look at their strength of schedule, it's actually dead in the middle, 16 of 32, at least according to our VSiN NFL betting guide. A couple of trends to throw out to people, and let's begin right with the season opener. They are 5-1-1 ATS. Seattle is in their last seven contests head to head against New England. But Dave, the over is 7-1 in their last eight head-to-head matchups. Feels like they have had the answer, or at least both sides have not had issues being able to put up some points. I think what's intriguing about Seattle's early portion of the schedule, we start thinking in some survivor implications here. I would have to imagine early in the year, Dave, a lot of people are going to fade the Arizona Cardinals. For a strategy standpoint, would you want to burn the Seahawks in week two, a classic overreaction week? You got to go on the road. It is an NFC West opponent. Yes, they begin the pomp and circumstance. They'll hang the banner there at Lumen Field and welcome in the Patriots. I think regardless of result, is there a point there? And for what it's worth, 8 of the last 9 head-to-heads against Arizona, Seattle has covered. So if you want that one in there as well, that's a great one. Would you be willing to burn Seattle as early as week 2 in a survivor pool, just knowing that's going to kind of be the trend? It's going to be a popular thing with Arizona out of the chute.
I would, if you look at the back end of their schedule, right? So if you're looking deep into potential survivor and you see the Cowboys in week 11 on Monday Night Football, if we think the Giants are going to be improved, maybe that would be a spot you'd want to hold to week 14. But again, at week 14, we have no idea what the tone and tenor of this football team is going to be and what they look like with potential injuries. And again, Sam Darnold has been great the last 2 years in Minnesota and in Seattle last year. He has been great, not good. Fantastic. Does still turn it over a lot. And again, you saw that last year. Still does have the interception bugaboo, and yet they were good enough to overcome that. I probably would look to use them earlier in the season. I don't know if I want to use them that soon. Maybe week 9 at home in Survivor against Arizona, as you mentioned. I know divisional rivals, sometimes that you can get a little wonky there, and people don't like to do that. But at home in Lumen Field, week 9 against the Cardinals, that might be a spot if I don't want to go too early on Seattle, maybe right there in the middle. Because I don't think I want to wait until that Cowboy double dip with the Rams at Philadelphia. And even at Carolina, it could be tricky late in the year. So I might want to go earlier. Week 9 might be where I'd identify right now. But I don't think this team's going back-to-back. Chiefs, Patriots, the last two teams to be able to do just that. Jensen, great stuff as always. We got a lot to get to here. We're going to have the maestro himself, Mike Palm, join us here from Las Vegas. And that means you got to be on your toes for Palm's Pressing 3. It's all straight ahead right here on VSiN by the Books.